Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. This is going to be an emphasis of truth. We'll see how quickly we make it. It's totally ad hoc. I'm not even going back to the source that I knew of. At some point, I had made an episode based on Julie Kelly's declassified stuff and their investigation about the pipe bomb at the DNC back in January of whenever that was. Would that be January 2021? The whole January 6th thing. Where there were suspiciously pipe bombs at near the RNC and the DNC, but somehow they could never decide who actually delivered the pipe bomb. Well, now they've arrested somebody, allegedly. I mean, they have. They've arrested somebody. But I want to point out the various weaknesses. So it'll be interesting if anybody wants to look into it. I would say this is what to do. So they've arrested this, I don't know, kind of a younger age, black guy, kind of a slender guy, supposedly matched him up. But remember, the contradictions were this. I'm going to describe how the layout of that was. Imagine you're looking at a building right in front of you. You're basically on the other side of the street. On the far left is a down the hill driveway into the garage, you can come in and you can come out, the gate shuts in between, and this is the DNC. Just to the left, probably not important, but just to get a better picture, just down the street to the left, there's an overpass, kind of a downtown overpass, like, okay, the road's over the top there, this is a through street, so you could walk through there, it's regular height, you know, you can, a small walkway on either side. It's just so the street's not interrupted by the, you know, if you will, the over streets, the other streets or other highway type things. And then just to the right of the driveway that goes down into the building, there is a small, you know, 10 to 15 foot from that close corner that would be the corner of the right corner of the driveway meeting the sidewalk. Coming to the right, there's whatever, 10 to 15 foot, a mostly just kind of low-level foliage, bush, no trees there, whatever that would be, hedges, plants. And at the right of that is then another square away from the sidewalk. And that is where there are benches. Okay, so there's a bench, if you will, that's showing vertically from where you look at it. It's perpendicular to the street. And then there's another bench that's horizontal to the street in this little rectangular patch. Okay, at the corner of these two benches, and I don't remember if there was a trash can there. I don't think so. This is where the pipe bomb was found. All right, and that pipe bomb, when they show pictures of how visible it was highly visible. Like, it didn't take much at all to see it. It wasn't buried in all that foliage. It was buried near the corner of those two benches. And so, very visible. Now, we did have the footage of somebody supposedly hanging around near those benches. And so, on the one hand, it seems valid. Okay, the guy, you know, supposedly hung around the night before. They couldn't find him. Even with all the phone technology, which is totally bullshit, didn't mean they didn't try to find him. Because all you got to do is go get the data, which you don't even have to purchase if you're the government, most likely. You just ask for it and say, give me cell phone data for this area around this time period. And then you backtrack. And since you can backtrack, you go, well, only this is the cell phone data, even de-identified, that shows up around this area. Now I just need to know where else this cell phone went. And if you first go 2 hours, I just need the cell phone data de-identified around this area for 2 hours, an hour on either side of when the guy centered himself in that place where we think he placed the pipe bomb. Well, 2000 Mules style, you can take that de-identified data, see where that cell phone went, and then have a really damn good lead if you don't have exactly where he lives by then, right? Without having to know anything else. And then you just simply connect that data to, well, this guy was in this residence You know, if you have a map overlay. If not, you go, where was he hanging out for quite a long period of time after he stopped moving quickly, such that he's in a car? Okay, this area, he was moving faster than 10 miles an hour. Most likely he's in a car or a bus, right? And after he stopped moving that fast, he's now doing walking speed or slower. And that's a 30-minute time period, or even a 5-minute time period. He is now a pedestrian. Once it's over 5 minutes, once it's over several minutes, you go, okay, is he in the same little geo location, give or take, for a period of time? Okay, he's in a building. Do the map overlay. Is it a business building? If it's not a business building, you done caught him at one of his friends or where he the hell lives. And then you go get him. You just go investigate. If it's multiple people living there, then you have a little bit more to investigate. If it ain't multiple people living there, that's your dude, bro. And then you back populate and go, okay, because you know they have access to this. Does this make sense? Okay, this says it's Stephen Garza. Wasn't Stephen Garza. I'm just thinking of a name off the top of my head instead of just using the usual Smith, because then it seems like I'm talking about the guy who I can't stand off ESPN. I shouldn't say I can't stand him. I'm not a fan because I didn't want Stephen A. Smith. So I'm just saying Stephen Garza, and that wasn't his ethnicity. I'm not trying to say anything like that. So you go, okay, this phone is attached to Stephen Garza, who happens to live there. Yep, open and shut. Now, all you have left is literally, could someone else have been into this house and impersonating him? So you'd have to backtrack that. But that's when you have access to the data that the FBI does, it's really that simple. This is a 12-man-hour thing, plus however long it takes to get the data. That's it. So they didn't do that. And so, but they have the video. Maybe you're going to help us find it like it's 1888. All right. And so we got him around these benches. But again, it's in a very conspicuous space. And you can say, well, maybe just nobody saw it. You know, it looked like debris to him. That is true. That is true. It's possible. It was a pipe bomb, right? So maybe there's just a, PVC pipe in the bushes, not incredibly embedded. Maybe nobody sat on the bench, which is possible. It's just pedestrians. So to the right, what you do is you go the rest of the building, either goes to the corner, or there's one more building to the corner, and then there's an intersection, right? Which would be running, well, obviously perpendicular. Like I said, the viewpoint would be a street is in front of us. We're looking directly across the street to the building. On the left end is that driveway that goes down into the building. That's the DNC. As you go further to the right, past the seating patch, if you will, the rectangular patch of concrete where those two benches are, I don't remember now, but it's either that it closes off and just goes to sidewalk, but I think it just kind of stays as that wide area, just with different interruptions of foliage and stuff, like a little individual tree or individual bushes. I think it stays wide all the way to the corner, but regardless, it goes to the corner. And then you have a regular intersection, and people could be turning the corner, across the street, whatever. So people are walking on that street. In the few time periods that Julie Kelly and others uncovered, there's quite a bit of pedestrian traffic there, including people coming across the street, a crosswalk across the street where they're kinda, I mean, visually, if they just scan their eyes at all, they're looking right at that patch of concrete where the benches are. Whereas I said, the upper left area, which would be closest to the building, that's where the pipe bomb is. And so quite a few people went by there, some of them kind of facing that same direction. But that's not particularly suspicious. It does make it less likely that nobody saw it, right? But hey, they're pedestrians. They don't know what that crap is. Did they bother to see that there's a kitchen timer on it? Probably not. But I'm still going to get to what's suspicious and why I'm really just initiated by this, by an email from Julie Kelly, just a, the regular email to subscribers. that say, hey, it's still unanswered questions. And I'm just guessing what those unanswered questions are and translating them to you. Because there were a lot of agents that went in that area that morning, that midday. I think she got there around midday. This is a little fuzzy. But if you go listen to the episode on the January 6th DNC pipe bomb, it basically concluded there's no way they shouldn't have seen the pipe bomb if that's what they were looking for. Because the vice president was about to get to the building. Like the brand new vice president. Higher security. Many people. I say many. At multiple details. Went through there over a period of time. Over the course of about three or four kind of arrivals. And or stays. By the said officers. Whether it would be Park Police. Washington D.C. Police. I don't remember exactly. You know, just FBI or whatever, or Secret Service. There were multiple occasions where people got there and at least pretended to walk not far from that area in a sense of, hey, you know, this might be a security scan. We should probably do a security scan since the to-be vice president is going to be coming into this building. And she left in the middle of the day for some unknown reason, but that's a different question. And so they walk in that area, including, I think, the first of the morning, but certainly one of the stretches there, having a dog, like having a bomb-sniffing dog, and walking the bomb-sniffing dog, you know, near the area of the bench. At different times, the camera that we can see, it's that it's implied that the area in question is just to the right. Like maybe the camera is zoomed in so far you can mostly see the foliage, but you can't see the full square of the concrete pad where the benches are. But you know they're going in that direction. So the setup would be, let's say, and I don't know this for sure, that driveway is only 12 to 15 foot deep from the sidewalk. Something like that. And of course, the pad itself, it doesn't go all the way to the building. It goes, whatever it would be, 6 or 7, 5 to 8 feet deep from the sidewalk, the concrete pad where the benches are. And then you have whatever remainder behind the bench is the foliage to the building. And so you see that the agent, the handler, is leading the dog through that general foliage. And would not be very far from where that pipe bomb would be. But you don't see them literally right at that corner where the pipe bomb would be. And that's the other interesting thing, is that when they later zoom out, I mean, you have to take kind of a forensic, almost increase the accuracy or capture the right video frame. You know how if you capture a video frame, sometimes a certain frame, you don't know that it's clear because it's part of it, but it's part of a video. And so when it flows together, a particular frame that would not work well as a image capture can be a little fuzzy, right? But flowing together, it just helps make the video. So you'd have to do like a forensic or a frame selection where it's right. But there was frame capture. There would have been coverage from this very same camera I'm talking about across the street, where when they did zoom out at some point, you could see that corner. You could see that corner between the benches. And as that zoomed out, I think maybe it zoomed out and then panned, or as a course of the camera zooming out and then panning to the right, you would have seen during zoom out or during pan, you could see that corner. And the question is, how obvious should that pipe bomb have been at that point? It wasn't zoomed out normally. It didn't zoom out in the multiple visits by the various agents, but it did zoom out. So you'd have to say, you know, Julie Kelly would have been like, and I'm sure this didn't happen, it's just from memory. But I'm telling you, even logically, they would have done the work to go, there's maybe what could be the pipe bomb, but I don't remember any of that. And so as probably 12 to 6, I'm sorry, 7 to 15 agents are in the general area. Nobody sees the pipe bomb until like literally 3 or 4 or 5 different people have, three different details had been nearby it. And on one of the later details, you know, most of these have, you know, black SUVs or black cars, but not all of them. They just look like police cars, and some of them look unmarked. You'll have to go listen to the episode, go to Julie Kelly with the videos. But during one of them, a guy gets out of the back of an SUV, and he has a long bag. I shit you not. He has a long bag. And then he goes, this would be kind of even with when it zoomed in, you can't quite see the right rectangular area. You can't see the patch. So this is more zoomed into where you can see the driveway and the foliage. You can't see the concrete patch where the bench is. And an agent or probably a Secret Service guy, if I remember right. I don't think he was in uniform, but honestly, that doesn't matter. A guy gets out, and he's got a bag that's, I don't know why he's carrying this duffel bag, but he is. He's carrying a duffel bag. I believe it had kind of a long sling to it. And then he disappears off to the right. I don't know what the hell he's doing with his bag, but he has one. And then eventually he goes from that car, if I remember right, that car leaves, who's dropped him off. And a minute or two later, you can see him after he's dropped off to the right. He then goes to one of the vehicles that's in the driveway. And you go, well, what the hell was that bag about? And so that's a question. You have a potential event where it was placed much later. And then you, and it makes sense that it should have been caught had it been found, had it been placed the night before, because of all of the various, you know, staging prep for VP arrival. So between the, oh, wait a second, wouldn't they have seen this? They were all over that area officially as not just anybody, but people are supposed to care about detail, or they don't make literally that detail, right? They don't make that detail if they don't care about the details of security. If they don't care about, no, you do follow through and you do the stage, the check of the area to make sure it's going to be safe, since this entrance is a public entrance. On any old day, no, but like we're the head crew, the forward crew for when the United States Vice President is supposed to come into this building on a day that might be tricky. In fact, a day we expect to be tricky. And a bunch of people are around, and a bunch of people are impliedly or expressly over in the area near the bench, because it's just not that far, including dogs. It's literally feet away from where we can see. And by feet, I mean, you know, I know any distance you can measure by feet. Do you mean a million feet, Tyson? Stop thinking like Tyson and being so literal. I'm trying to be figurative a little here so that I can communicate with humans, even though I'm Martian. Literally just feet away, you know, whether that's 5, whether it's 3, whether it's 10, we know people went over into that area and were looking around. They were crossing from their car to another car. They were generally covering that area as security detail or near security detail, as forward crew for the VP being on the way eventually today. And they didn't see it after 2 or 3 or 4 visits. But they do see it after a guy with a duffel bag disappears off to the right where the bench would be, and then comes back and enters a different vehicle. And so that's why probably Julie Kelly, and you know, go subscribe to her stuff. She's really, really good. But if you don't, then there's your description. Oh, we caught a guy? All right, you could have caught the guy in a day and a half. I mean, I get it on January 6th when they had to crowdsource that. I mean, think of all the phones that were in that area. And plus, it works for propaganda, and you're trying to demonize Trump before he even gets in office. But truly, it's a lot more difficult of a situation. You know, like, help us find these guys. Bro, you got the cell phone data. You're the federal government. You're the FBI. If you're trying to demonize these people as criminals, you can perfectly well do it, but you want some propaganda value. But yes, it's much more difficult. It's a bigger lift because many, many, many people were there. But it was not many, many people when you have timestamp video and a location. This wasn't, hey, this guy's somewhere and we don't know, but it's, we know it's value. We know it's a high secure area. Sure wonder what the fuck happened. You know what happened, all right? And that's where it becomes, like, even the investigation, I'd like to know the details, because, like, what do you mean it was complicated? And they had, you had to do a bunch of human, you know, real human-based investigative work. This is all data-driven, bro. And maybe they just meant, as they were reporting on now the success of finding somebody, hey, we had to follow up on leads because leads weren't followed up on. And, or we can't find the data. Or whatever. I mean, but I don't see, at the very least, and maybe they're just not trying to throw people under the bus. And that could be, like, what do you mean you had to follow it up with human detecting? You don't have to. You have to finish it with human detecting. But you can get 95% there with just whatever data you had. You're going to tell me you don't keep that data for 4 years if necessary? Come on, man. Are you? And see, it's possible they never pulled it because they weren't trying to find it, the person before. Okay, because it was propaganda. Because if it wasn't propaganda that they then decided to drop, they decided to drop the propaganda value. Because if they, because it was good for propaganda value. Are you kidding me? On January 6th, not only did all this happen, somebody decided to plant a pipe bomb in front of the DNC and then miss, this person is dangerous to society and all the January 6th people are dangerous to society. You don't think that would back up your argument? What, the fact that she stopped arguing and basically, I don't know if she ever much mentioned it. There was a pipe bomb in front of my building. They tried to kill me on January 6th before I even got inaugurated. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? That Kamala wouldn't use that propaganda value. And if she didn't, then what really makes sense? There was a reason not to use the propaganda value. Never mind that we never really went into what the hell happened with the RNC pipe bomb too. So these bombs were plants. The guy didn't do it alone. If he did it alone, then they would have just caught him. It was easy. Instead, they just put a bounty out there for propaganda. Now, it is slightly possible, and also I'll pull back and say, well, maybe they went, all right, who is this? All right, good conservative. Yeah, we're gonna nail them. And they're like, crap, he's not a conservative. Shit. But what the hell's a progressive black dude doing? And I'm not saying he was, I'm saying for the purpose of this logic. Planting a pipe bomb in front of the DNC. That wouldn't even make sense, dude. So how would it be that they would then go, let's not use this propaganda value that's true because it turns out that he's one of our people. What? Even if that were true, how would it make sense that it was one of your people? It would make sense that one of your people for the RNC, not the DNC. I guess we can back and engineer it and go, this wasn't even the Hillary deal. When it's Hillary and Bernie, that could make sense. Like, you assholes. Bernie was supposed to win this. I am wildly unhinged. I'm not saying Bernie supporters are. I'm saying I'm wildly unhinged. And I think the fact that Hillary won because she literally stole it from Bernie and she conspired with people to steal it from Bernie on the Democratic side. Therefore, this person is unhinged enough to do violence to the DNC. That's not this one. Okay? This is the Biden one. With Kamala, like any happy, would-be unhinged liberal, has no reason. We're going to potentially get a black woman as VP. And then you win? And you're going to kill the black woman? The black woman VP you're going to kill. Or potentially you're going to kill. You're certainly hoping you damage where she is. The other thing is, why the hell would they even put it in front of it? You know how coincidental that was? Think about it. January 6th, DNC. Maybe, I mean, you could argue, well, that's the least secure place that I could at least plant something to make my symbolic violence. But she's not supposed to be there that day. It's unplanned. What's your point on January 6th of 2021 for a pipe bomb at the DNC as a black man who's a progressive? And again, I'm just saying, if the logic was, why didn't we publicize this? Why didn't we use it for our propaganda purposes that a pipe bomb was planted in front of the DNC? And then you go, well, maybe they didn't do it because they found out it was a black man. They found out, but they didn't want to share it because the FBI is so political that why not just come out with the truth and say, yeah, well, truth is a truth. We're not going to deny it, but nothing to see here as far as hoping to demonize some conservative white folks. Just is what it is. You know, so they go, well, you know, since it's been politicized, oh, we'll hide that. But that doesn't make sense, because why would the random black man progressive who planted the pipe bomb plant a pipe bomb at the DNC on January 6th? He wouldn't know anybody was coming, and what would be the point of it, even symbolically? Because, you know, all violence some element of violence is symbolism-based, but certainly the one at the DNC, unless somebody's window, the nearest by window, is the person they wanted to kill, you're trying to damage the DNC. If you don't know that the VP's going to be there, then what's the point, bro? And if they found out, which they could find out today, the FBI could, you know, maybe further evidence has showed up. Hey, this is the rare, but certainly not unprecedented, conservative black guy. Maybe they found out that out since. I don't even care. I'm just working through the logic string. Well, if you found out it's the rare conservative black guy, then you'd have that information. You got access to social media and what the person thinks. So you'd be able to say, hey, you've even then have the Uncle Tom element to it. Well, what are you guys doing leaving the South, leaving the plantation, and thinking conservatives are in your best interest? Look, you think conservatives are in the best interest? Look, one of you guys got tricked, and now you're trying to kill the black female VP. So it would have the propaganda value, so why should they drop it? Hello? So as I say that, I'm going to pause now and just see what the highlights on the Julie Kelly email are, just for an interesting to see if this was, you know, close to accurate. So give me just a moment. I'm going to open that up and just see what she has to say. I'm back. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm not going to lead with what's making me oh, my Lord. But yeah, this is basically right. But of course, Julie Kelly has more details. You know, as far as her saying what the unanswered questions are, Brian Cole Jr. looks like the patsy. His grandmother basically said he's not a supporter of Donald Trump. He's not political. He's basically practically autistic, quote, borderline autistic. Cole, who's 30 now, has an obsession with My Little Pony, a subculture known as a brony. What? When dudes, instead of, you know, like a bro, a brony, guys who are interested in My Little Pony. Okay, and he was accused of planting both pipe bombs. And so Kelly points out that, hey, how about we talk more to this woman who, quote, found the RNC one? Because that was more like an alley. It wasn't like out in the open. So I have a picture here. I say an alley. It was nowhere near as prominent. I don't remember if it was an alley. No, I think it was. I think they have a picture here, and basically it's in between a wooden fence up against a building and next to what looks like probably a trash can. So who the hell would find that? They couldn't find one in the bush, almost in plain sight. So, yeah, it's the same person. And what I was laughing about is that... Now, Julie Kelly is saying apparently not true about this. But as I said, hey, let's go look for, phone data. You think? Common sense? Just in case you wondered. Of course they went to, quote, look for phone data, or at least feign to look for phone data. We have a January 20th, 2021 email that says, well, I'll be gosh darn. This is FirstNet, who apparently is who you would go to say, to respond or to, hey, can you give us that phone data? FirstNet goes, sure as hell can't. You got an email that supposedly is from FirstNet or ATT or somebody. And the person's like, no, the thing is, the data for January 5th was corrupted. Cannot be restored. All we have is the 6th. Bullshit. So it's FirstNet, which is built with AT&T. So Public Safety Division Program Manager has some security quals, CISSP. And it's, of course, blacked out, but not a big deal because we can see the data there as far as the body of the email. The data for January 5th was corrupted and cannot be restored. All we have is the 6th. Bullshit. All right, select subcommittee. Despite the FBI sending AT&T a preservation request to help identify the person who planted the pipe bombs. So that would be, hey, you probably get rid of stuff after a period of time. Don't get rid of this shit. Preserve it. An AT&T employee told the FBI that the data from 1-5 was corrupted. AT&T later responded and said the server was overloaded due to the large quantity of data being pulled. Yeah, garbage. Garbage. And so then with Julie Kelly, she says, wait a second. That's obviously not true. And for background on the woman, a Carlin Younger was the person who supposedly found the RNC pipe bomb. And so, yeah, she finds it, but nobody talked to her after January 11th. Nobody. After January 11th, the person who found the pipe bomb. And so Republican chairman of the select subcommittee on January 6th, Barry Loudermilk out of Georgia, wants to get this person in front of, in a transcribed interview. What's even more interesting is that for this lack of availability, Younger literally worked for the federal government at the time. I'm not going to go in here. I've not covered this, but Julie Kelly is a hero. So she covered in multiple spots that Younger would have some explaining to do. And so certainly those details would be worthy of checking into. Maybe I'll do that at some point. But yeah, as to all of the hypotheticals earlier, they stand. They stand because on the one hand, the supposed story is this autistic, practically black man who's 30 years old now. So, 5 years. This was, if you think about it, was 4 years, 10 months ago or so, right? And so the idea that he was a Trump supporter, well, then why wouldn't you come away right away with that? That's easy enough to find out. So why wouldn't you say, you have the Uncle Tom argument too. It's like, See, for some people that works, right? Like, they would despise a black man who goes Republican, and then all of a sudden, he's responsible for a pipe bomb that would potentially injure, maim, or kill a black woman VP? Hello? I mean, never mind my episodes where she's just as much white as black. Never mind that. So go check that out. The basis of that is just go look at her heritage on her Jamaican side. Very, very, very quickly in her, actually, I should say far back in her background. I can't remember. It's plantation owner type people. Not even kidding you. Not even kidding you. So she was as white as she was black on her Jamaican side. That was only half of her sides. But anyway, at least argumentatively, you know, academically, rhetorically, why would the, if the black man who is now a Republican supporter would kill the first, you know, try to maim or kill potentially or injure the first black woman VP, then he's especially worthy of derision and hate and will help people keep stay, black people stay on the, in the Democratic Party. Why wouldn't you use that as propaganda? But what Julie Kelly points to is January 6th pipe bomb suspect, the Daily Mail, is an, quote, autistic recluse computer nerd. And he is not a Trump supporter, family claims. So if this is the case, I ask you again, kind of like the guy at the Trump assassination, who was like, on the other hand, really smart. Like, why would he get all the way to this amount of even activity and extremism without somebody trying to get him there? And so there's at least a conspiracy to be found. He's a recluse who's a computer nerd and has no party affiliation, says his grandmother? And you're going to tell me he gets so, oh, what do they call it when they, you know, they say there's the young Islamic kids get, they become extreme. There's a verb for it. What would get him there? By himself? He's going to come up with a pipe bomb? Come on, man. Going to plant it himself. By himself. Nobody's talking to him in chat groups. Nobody's talking to him in some used groups or some Facebook profile, and then they start to text him after that. Bullshit. This recluse was buying bomb parts like a year before? Come on, bro. Are you kidding me right now? He didn't do it himself. It's the same idea of the guy in the, wherever that was, where Trump got his ear clipped. No, something else was going on. This is the simplest of detective work. Okay, who else is involved? And when justice doesn't prevail is when somebody stops going because out of fear or intimidation or bribery, you go, oh shit, we don't want to pull these threads anymore. And then that's how you get to, quote, lone gunmen or lone suspects. So let me find a little bit more here. Brian Cole confessed and told his FBI interrogator. So a near autistic guy under interrogation said, I'm a Trump supporter and I hold anarchistic views. Well, which one? But MS Now, which I guess they're rebranding because they're such failures that nobody trusts anymore. It's not MSNBC. I don't know what MS Now is. I would think it's kind of like MSNBC or some offshoot or replacement. They cited unnamed sources that said Cole confessed and told his FBI interrogators he is a Trump supporter. Oh, so it didn't come out of the FBI? Patel didn't say this? Come on, man. Loretta, his grandmother, said Cole has no party affiliation and never votes. Oh, wait, a named source who's a family member? Lives literally in his mother's basement. Hello? This guy is grieving the loss of his pet Chihuahua while working a data entry position for his family's bail bonds business. Pardon me, that's my co-host. One of my co-hosts sometimes meows. And I have another co-host, and he barks. He's generally pretty quiet, but he will bark. Quote, he's not politically affiliated with anything. This is from an interview at her home in Georgia. He has no social media contacts. He's never online going back and forth with politics or anything like that. He says he doesn't like either party. He's borderline autistic. He's slow. He may be 30, but he's got the mind of a 16-year-old. That's why we're thinking, what the hell? What's going on? Guys, this is as simple as this. I hate to be a dot connector, but I told you about a something booker not very far from me who got roped into being falsely accused. I mean, I guess truthfully accused, if you want to say he wouldn't have done it by himself. But agents roped him into. It's just that they admitted it. Do you get this? They admitted this one. But it's supposedly okay. Roped into supposedly taking explosives in a car he didn't even own. And explosives that he didn't even buy. I think he bought some small parts of it. In a plan he didn't devise to Fort Riley, not far from Manhattan, Kansas. Once he did that, that was far enough actions to arrest him and catching a domestic terrorist. Okay, well, what happened was they admitted the detail there. And here they're just not going to admit the detail or haven't thus far. The guy was roped into it. Now, whether agents did that or whether somebody else did, we don't know. But let's think of probability here, folks. Would it be probable that an outside agent, an outside entity that is trying to rope this slow kid into doing something, would be of the liberal brand? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would the liberal brand rope in a black man? Just find the slow white dude. I mean, is this guy eminently ropeable? Yeah, he's slow. Okay, literally, quotes, he's borderline autistic. He's slow. He may be 30, but he's got the mind of a 16-year-old. That's what we're thinking. What the hell? What's going on? So here's what really happened. You know, again, this is not criminal evidence, right? I mean, this is, let's come up with the most plausible theory. I'm not the person to track it down. So I'm going to finish the rest, or at least some of the other quotes. This young man is very calm and quiet. He just stays to himself. Nobody bothers him because he doesn't bother anybody. He doesn't have a girlfriend. That's how slow he is. He's just off in a little world on his own. He stays downstairs, and he used to be with his dog all the time until the Chihuahua died. That's why everything is so messed up because he's a good kid. If you knew him, you would say that he couldn't have done it. And if he did, it was just him trying to prove a point or whatever. He probably doesn't even know the magnitude of what he's done if he did it. So this is what happened. This is not difficult. By the way, there's a nice close-up of the pipe bomb at the DNC. And you know how I'm going to call them brick-looking pavers? Where it's not really a brick, it's kind of that porous stuff, but that's the paver. You can see the brick pavers, if you will, at the corner. Very close, like where the end of the pipe bomb is, it's not way in the foliage. Where the pipe bomb is touching the ground is practically on a totally clear paver. But there is just a little bit of foliage, just barely, like at the tip of the pipe bomb. There's like mulch or something. But just to the right of it, it's bare paver. I mean, that's how relatively out in the open this was. So what really happened is over a period of time, he said, hey, go get some of this stuff. He may not even known why. Okay, he may not have even known why. And then likely, he didn't even piece it together. But if he did piece it together, then he's communicated with somebody to do so. So, yeah, that's what really happened. And they may even said, hey, let's share the screen. Or, hey, why don't you look up how to make these and tell me what you find out. And go, yep, that seems right to me. Go ahead and piece it together. Remember the pipe that you got? Remember the kitchen timers you got? And I'll say then, I just agree with a poster off of Julie Kelly that said, this is just a backup. Like, if the capital stuff wasn't enough to just go demonizing the supporters, because the intention was to cripple an administration from 2 weeks before it even started. That was the intention. And January 6th, people being put Guantanamo Bay type, you know, no charges and no trials and stuff was exactly the proof of that, let alone ones that basically did nothing. And the whole theater of the crowdsourcing where they didn't bother to go, oh, what's his name? As soon as Ray Epps was actually identifiable through more than one case, they took him off of the most wanted list. And he's the one who was actually trying to egg people on. We're going to break into that Capitol tomorrow. We know what we're here for. What are you talking about? So it was theater. And as soon as they realized they didn't need the pipe bomb, then it went away. It was like, we don't have to talk about the pipe bomb. That's more shaky anyway. And they might figure it out. It's a particular individual situation. So we're not going to worry about solving that or even really mentioning it. Because again, why would Kamala not mention it? So yeah, we'll wrap this up. I just think that probably what happened, but again, the video might be there. I generally trust Bongino and Patel. I think that it's possible it's as little as this. He was entrapped, but not entrapped in like the artificial sense of the word where he didn't deliver anything actual. But there is that possibly he didn't deliver anything actual, but he didn't do it on his own, period, plain and simple. And they can stop the investigation. That's how you get to lone suspect scenarios where you go, okay, it makes all the sense in the world that he would be communicating with somebody else given this, and so it's a conspiracy. But do we feel like going down that path? At least we got the final person, which is not really helpful for social justice and fairness. But at least you did get the final person. So it's not the worst thing. But I'm not even sure he delivered the pipe bombs. There could also be that until they come out with video that shows him dropping the pipe bomb, which they have never had before, that shows him sitting there at the benches and talking DNC, RNC. I don't think they have any footage there. It was kind of in between buildings and more or less in a alleyway. In essence, if you think of a north to south, if this is, let's just act like it's north to south, I'm not certain. But if it's a north to south street, then in between blocks, there's a large building, maybe a hotel or something, on the northwest half of that block that is east of this certain street. And on the southwest half of the block is the RNC. And in between is an alleyway. And it's found in the alleyway, it looks like, near a small trash container, near kind of a dividing wooden fence, and back in a corner. And so I don't think they have any video of him planting it. Because otherwise, why don't they have the video of him planting it? Right? Why wouldn't it have been released? The video you see is him on the benches or nearby the benches, not of him planting it. And so instead, he's told to walk around here with this container. And when he walks around it, I'm sorry, with like a duffel bag. And he does do that. And again, that's highly trackable. Like, ain't nobody else walked in that area, in that area. I'm sorry, in that area. And you know, the DNC and the RNC isn't really far away. So if you just grab the geolocation data of the folks that were near the DNC area and the RNC area in the time frame around when the DNC item was placed, then you go, well, that's probably around the time they placed the other one as well. Therefore, we probably can geolocate. Oh no, the data is corrupted. The data from the night. There's so many data requests that it corrupted the data. Well, that makes no sense. Data requests don't corrupt data. It would be an export. That has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, to use an old term. And to be clear, to resurface that, the email itself says the data for January 5th was corrupted and cannot be restored. All we have is a 6th. But the X post itself from Select's subcommittee on January 6th, official Twitter for the Select subcommittee on January 6th, Republicans chairman, says despite the FBI sending AT&T a preservation request to help identify the person who planted the pipe bombs, an AT&T employee told the FBI that the data from 1-5 was corrupted. AT&T was later responded and said the server was overloaded due to the large quantity of data being pulled. What? 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 I mean, so this makes no sense if there's any kind of data that would be sub-segmented. The server was overloaded due to the large quantity of data being pulled, would have nothing to do with it being corrupted. That makes no sense. It's a query to a data source. A query to a data source does not have the ability to screw up the server. You could have some kind of something else that screws up the server, but that would be an attack of some kind. The large quantity of data being pulled would not corrupt the data. That makes zero sense whatever. That's bullshit. But that is where that comes from. So he was just used, probably didn't even have the pipe bombs. They weren't found until midday the next day when one of them was out in the open. The other one would make sense that it wouldn't be found. But the RNC one in the alley was the one found first by some woman who's a federal government employee who they haven't talked to since January 11th. Hello, connections. And so if they were to pull the rest of these threads, they would find a conspiracy, plain and simple. Question is whether they will or not. So yeah, again, there's a lot of, if you will, speculation slash informed guesses off of the other stuff that we do know, but that obviously I don't have everything in front of me and I'm not the investigator. But please look into Julie Kelly's stuff. You cannot find a more heroic, person as far as continuing to dig. Remember back when big tech was the censor, okay? The censor before Musk took on things like, hey, you can think you're going to share this, but guess the fuck what? You're not. You're not going to share this on Twitter. You're not going to share it on Facebook. You're not going to share it on YouTube. Go fuck yourself. It's not going to work. And so, at least people, thank God, in our market, they don't have absolutely control over everything. And Substack started. Now, it was a smaller bullhorn, but at least people got to publish. And so, Julie Kelly published the hell out of that stuff. She's one of the good ones for sure. So go support her work at Declassified with Julie Kelly. True hero, right up there with a Catherine Austin Fitz, with a Ron Paul, with on the more extreme measure, but someone who would speak out, a David Icke, the folks at the New American, the Alex Jones of the world. Well, you know, you could say, hey, not all of his stuff comes to pass. He does not bullshit. He does not screw around. And he is absolutely being the victim of legal warfare. I'm sorry, lawfare. Not only the first time after Sandy Hook, but now again after basically the judges decided on the civil fine. It was purely a judge scenario. And then the appeal was nonsense. And so we continue to make these exceptions for the really big threats. And it's not good. So Alex Jones, victimized yet again, first by the mere idea that a civil settlement could be $1 billion or whatever it was. Then again, after the whole concept behind the civil settlement was not even regularly civil trial based. It just wasn't. And I haven't explained that much, but I probably will go into it at one point. It just leaves all precedent behind. There's no precedent as to the basis of law in our society, and even the initial deal, let alone the appeal off of it. It was a wild exception to the way that law students, even in 2025, are instructed, and how the law works in 2025, unless and until they just decide they're going to terrorize this person because they've been bad with their free speech. How dare they? So Julie Kelly, absolute hero supporter. Declassified with Julie Kelly. As far as her sub, her website, it was a Substack. Maybe it's not a Substack anymore, and she just went straight off of there. Or in Substacks now you can sometimes have your own HTML, I'm not sure. But she started as a Substack, and now you can go declassified.live, and you should see Declassified with Julie Kelly. And she's just incredible. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth.